Thank you so much. That was just wonderful, wasn't it? I enjoyed that immensely. Thanks, Jim. And thank you, Jennifer. Yeah. I always envy guys who've got a musical ministry. Only time I can sing is when I'm in the car and nobody else is there. But anyway, here we go again, folks, and it's a privilege to be with you again this evening, and praising God for His goodness. One thing I just wanted to say before we get into the message, but everybody's been, or some people have been talking today about getting their sense of humour from either their father or their mother. Well, I got mine from my mother. She and I, the same things, the things that made her laugh made me laugh as well. And I just had to tell you this because it came to me so powerfully this afternoon, but you used to get you understand, in Scotland, if a lady meets, sees a friend across the road, you know, she'll go, you know. Well, there's an old hymn, and there's a line in the hymn that says, "You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." Well, one day at our church back in Scotland, I had to chair the meeting, you see, for the guest speaker. And he chose that hymn, you see. And the way we used to sing it in Scotland, you repeated this phrase, "You who unto Jesus," three times, every time you sang the chorus, you see. Well, I was in the chair and we sang this hymn. We got to the first chorus and I eyed my mother, and she was just tied in knots sitting in the congregation. And I was tied in knots up in the platform, you know. Oh, it was terrible, but it was hilariously funny, you know. We're saying, "You who unto Jesus." Oh, it was so funny. Anyway, there we go. Enough of this hilarity.
Yeah.
Let's come to the Word of God tonight, and we're going to read from Ephesians this evening. Reading from Ephesians, and we're in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And just to remind you, last evening we were thinking about the whole theme for our time together is making a difference no matter what. And we were thinking on our first session of our being in our correctly positioned, and the fact that means, according to Romans 6 verses 10 and 11, that we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then today, because that is true, we were thinking this morning that means we can be purposeful. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that we are always led in triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. And in all circumstances. And we were rejoicing in that today. But now we move on to this third session, and we're calling this being focused on the prospect ahead. Because although it's great to have purpose and so on in our lives, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we're moving on to that glorious prospect. And I've been so blessed. I'm so blessed by Barbara's song tonight and various other things that Jim what's your name?
Frank.
Hugh. bringing to us tonight. We've this tremendous prospect ahead of us that we're going to meet the Lord one day. And we're going to see Him face to face. And it's a glorious thing. And I just want to say to you, before we go any further, dear people, that I've asked you this question several times when we've been together. Do we really believe this? Do we really believe this? Do you know? Because it's everything, isn't it? Do we really believe this? I remember my son saying to me one day, he said, "Dad, what would the church be like if we really believed the things we say we believe?" And, you know, we talk about these things, don't we? Do I really believe that I'm going to see the Lord one day? Do I really believe I'm going to give an account to the Lord one day? Do I really believe we're going to see Him? We're going to be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. What a tremendous prospect. And I just wanted to say to you folks that that is one of the reasons, and we've got to get this right, and we talked about it a little bit this morning, about being purposeful. We need to be men and women who are really seeking those things which are above. If we've died with Him and we've been raised with Christ, Paul says, therefore seek those things which are above. We need to be purposeful about that. We need to be disciplined about that. We need to make it an absolute priority in our lives that we spend time with God. And you know, people, I have to say this to you, and I'm discovering this as I get older, that the more meaningful our time with God is, the more real this glorious prospect will become. It's not that you're being morbid. It's not that you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good type of thing. It's just the fact that the things of God are becoming so real and so vital and so precious that prospect that's ahead of us becomes so much more wonderful. And I just want to encourage you today that we spend that time alone with God. Alone with God. Every one of us spending time. You know, I mean learning again to really meditate on the Word of God, to soak it in, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives and to make those great truths our own. You know, it's wonderful to have notes to follow when you're reading the Word. You know, these things are very helpful. Scripture Union notes, I grew up on that kind of stuff. And they're wonderfully helpful. But the temptation is someday, you know, if you're really busy, you just read the notes and you don't read the Scripture bit. You know what I'm saying? And that's all the wrong way around, folks. It's all the wrong way around. Thank God for the notes that we have. But, you know, there's no substitute for meditating in the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit Himself to teach you. And allowing the Holy Spirit to bring those truths home to your heart so that you know that they're yours. You didn't get them from anybody else. They're not secondhand. They're born within you by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is so vitally important. And I believe when it comes to what we're talking about tonight, then that is even more important. And so when we read these scriptures, we're going to read down to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. And this is, to my mind, such a profound and amazing passage of scripture. And there'll be people here tonight who could probably recite it almost by heart. But it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. And the Lord bless these to us, these verses. We'll refer to others as we go along. But just bearing in mind what we've been saying, this amazing prospect that's ahead of us, and I want to elaborate on it in just a minute. But before we get there, just what I want to say in the message tonight is this. Three things. First of all, we have a re-emphasis on our position. And I don't apologize for that. Because, dear friends, tonight, until we really get it into our hearts and our minds and it's woven into our being, what is our position in Christ, the prospect is not going to be as bright as it ought to be. Are you with me? When we really grasp what God has done in our experience, what the grace of God has made real for us, then everything else takes on a whole new meaning. So we're going to look at that position. And because of the position, we move on to appreciate and begin to enjoy, I might say, the prospect that is ahead of us. And then we're going to look at the provision that God has made in the meantime. But this position of ours, notice how he puts it in this passage we've read. He talks about being seated with him in heavenly places. That's an amazing statement. You don't need me to tell you there are five mentions of heavenly places in Ephesians. It's an interesting little study. And in chapter 1 he talks about Christ being raised from the dead, and in verse number 20 he says he brought about which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now we rejoice tonight. We rejoice tonight that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the historical Jesus that we talked about earlier, has been raised from the dead. He really did rise from the dead. That wonderful historical fact that he rose from the dead and he ascended to glory and right now is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. We rejoice in a risen Saviour. We rejoice in an exalted Saviour. We rejoice in one who right now is seated at God's right hand. And wonder of wonders, praise be to the Lord, you and I, by his grace, are seated with Christ in those same heavenly realms. That is your position right now. Your position, as far as God sees it, you are literally right now seated with Christ in those heavenly realms. Praise God. And that is a thing that we need to grasp and rejoice in and praise the Lord for. That is what God has done by his amazing grace. Seated us with Christ. And that's why the phrase that we talked about last night takes on a whole new meaning. We are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Everything that has been given to him is ours right now. Is ours to enjoy. That is why it is so essential that we're soaking ourselves in his word. That the Spirit of God is teaching us and we're coming to enter into and enjoy those tremendous things day by day. The world throws all kinds of garbage into our lives, right? We're faced with all kinds of stuff. You know as well as I do, it's just like a wee bit of heaven here these 2 days, right? And as soon as you drive out that gate out there tomorrow afternoon, boom, and reality hits you between the eyes like a ton of bricks, right? And we know what that means. We're back to reality again, so to speak. Listen to me, people. That's not reality. This is reality. Amen? We need to get that into our minds. We need to get it into our hearts. This is reality. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
He is seated at God's right hand. And you and I, in Christ tonight, are seated there as well. That's where we are. That's how God sees us. That's our position right now. And we rejoice. Now to emphasize how amazing that is, of course, Paul gives us this picture here of what it was like before we were seated with Christ in heavenly realms. We were literally, spiritually speaking, dead. We were dead to God. We were dead in our trespasses and in sins. The position of being without Christ. You know, dear friends, I believe it's a thing that we need to recapture. We need to recapture what it really means for men and women to be lost. To be lost. You know, my wife and I, we have a number of non-Christian friends. And the thing that's overwhelming us in recent times is the sheer lostness of these people. Their lostness is amazing. There are two of them, our ladies, my wife's particularly close to them, and both of them are 100 years old. Neither of them have any time for God. And it's a tragedy. And they've got lost written all over them. Dear friends, tonight, I wish as Christians we could recapture what it means to have compassion for lost people. You know, I've told some of you before, but in the assembly where I was baptized in Scotland, we had elders there who were passionate about winning the lost. And we had a revival in that assembly years ago. Never forget it. And one of the things that stands out in my mind is that if a Sunday went past during that revival time or just afterwards, if a Sunday went past and nobody got saved, the elders were asking why. And I remember these men in the prayer meeting, on their knees on the floor in the prayer meeting, and the tears running down their faces as they prayed for the lost people of the village. We need to recapture this, people, because you know what? If you really are enjoying this prospect that's ahead of you, that you're seated with Christ in heavenly realms, one of the things it will do for us, it will emphasize the lostness of the world around us. That people who are perishing without Christ, and we need to have a great burden on our hearts. But you and I were dead. We were dead. And I want you to notice here, Paul gives us this contrast. And the contrast is made real because of God's mercy. The contrast. We were once dead. He tells us down at verse number 11 that we didn't read together. He says, the verses that follow, that we had no hope. We were without God in the world. And so on. We were without hope. We were without God. We were dead as far as God is concerned. Separated from Him because of our sin. We were enslaved to our sin. But praise God, you know, we were enslaved. This is in the past. Paul says, you were dead. You were lost. No longer is that the case by the grace of God. We are now saved. We are alive in Christ Jesus. And we were enslaved. But when Jesus spoke about going to the cross, and He talked about the devil, and He said, now is the devil being driven out, praise God. Being driven out. Jesus on the cross won a tremendous victory over sin and death and hell. And people today, you don't need me to remind you, but we are in a tremendous conflict. Paul tells us when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the battle that we're in. He says, stand firm, stand strong in the Lord. And we put that whole armor of God that we can put on every day, with the wonderful belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got the helmet of salvation, and we've got the sword of the Spirit. What more could we ever want? Amen? And we're in, this is all our provision from the Lord as we move on and enjoying this tremendous prospect. And dear friends today, you know, you and I, you don't need me to tell you, and I wish we could sometimes be more alive to this than we are, but things happen in our lives, and sometimes you stand back and you say, this is from the enemy. This is from the enemy. You know, we just look at the circumstances sometimes, and maybe we're under an attack from the enemy. Paul talks about his schemes. The word schemes is in the Greek language, is the word methodia. It means where we get our word method. There's no, it's not willy-nilly as far as the devil's concerned. He has his strategy. And we come under the attacks of the enemy. And I wish that as believers today, we could learn more and more to take our stand. Stand firm, says Paul in Ephesians 6. Stand against the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Lord, will you rebuke him today? When I look at the lives of some people who are close to us right now, and I see what the enemy is doing, and my wife and I are learning more and more as we pray together every day for our kids and our grandkids, and we're crying out to God, we see things that are happening, and we're saying, Lord, rebuke the devil right now in the name of Jesus. Bind the evil one, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We stand against him, amen? Listen to me, people, we stand against him. We are alive to God in Christ Jesus. The devil wants you to question that. The devil wants you to question that and get discouraged and look on the circumstances and get your eyes off the Lord and against the glorious prospect that's ahead. We need to do battle in prayer, amen? We need to learn to intercede and plead with God. Plead with God. Have you ever been in the presence of God and you've been on your face, literally lying on your face on the floor before the Lord, pleading with God, Lord, that you would come in all your power and glory. Lord, that you would deal with the enemy. Rebuke him, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. That we might, as the people of God, walk on in his victory and in his triumph for the glory of his name. There's a tremendous contrast here, folks. And we're glad about it, aren't we? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And we read this account here. And you know, when dear Hugh was giving his testimony, the first part of it this morning, and he was testifying what a dead-end road the world's ways are. It's just a dead-end road. It leaves you empty. It leaves you unsatisfied. It's got, offers us nothing at all of any lasting value. And we come to this wonderful passage, and it says we were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. In a position where we're under the terrible wrath of Almighty God. Folks, in the church today, we're afraid of this truth. We're afraid to preach this truth. We're afraid to offending people. Listen to me, if our hearts are not breaking for the lost people, don't even talk about hell, amen? If we're not preaching out of deep compassion for men and women who are lost, who are under the judgment of God. That's where we used to be, folks. That's what we deserve, amen? You're not sure about that, are you not? That's what we deserve. We deserve the wrath of God. And that was our position at one time. But we read those amazing words, and you've heard them millions of times, most of you probably. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. What we did not deserve, God came to us in His great mercy. And we're here today by the mercy of God and nothing else. We've nothing to brag about except our Savior. We've nothing to boast of except our wonderful Lord. And as we think of what He has done in our lives and we cry out to God, oh God, give us that compassion for lost men and women. Help us to see, Lord, they have no prospect other than a lost eternity. Oh, dear friends, tonight, please remember, our God is a God of love. He's a holy God, but He's a God of love and compassion. The hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't delight in sending people to hell. Nobody will be there but by their own choosing. His compassion, His love, His mercy is for all men. Amen. Longing for them to be saved. Longing for them to come to Christ. Dear Barbara's solo today just moved my heart. Reminded me of a dear Irish guy I was a student with in Glasgow about 100 years ago. And Jim used to sing this wonderful song. By and by, when I look on his face, I will wish I had given him more. By and by, when we look on his face. Oh, dear friends, today I'm with John the Apostle. I don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen? I don't want to be ashamed. I just pray constantly. Some of us were talking at dinner time tonight about when was I going to retire. Do you know? I sometimes feel like the old preacher who said, I'll retire when the devil retires. But that's not, you know, I pray constantly that God will preserve me from becoming an old fool, you know. And that I'll know when to stop. And that God will, please pray about that, won't you? But I just feel today that, you know, we need to have this deep, deep concern for lost men and women. To present the gospel. To be able to share and preach Christ. That they might come to know Him as their Savior. There's this incredible contrast as we think of our position today. This incredible contrast because of the mercy of God. But also, in verses 5 and 6, there's this wonderful completeness because of the grace of God. The mercy of God is us not getting what we do deserve. The grace of God is us getting what we don't deserve. And when we think of the grace of God, and down at verse number 5, Paul says there, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The grace of God has brought us to this incredible position. I want you to notice these three words in these verses. Number one, we're alive. We're alive with Christ. We're raised with Christ. And we're seated with Christ. That's completeness, isn't it? It doesn't get any better than that. Alive with Him. Raised up with Him and seated with Him. It can't improve on that, praise God. And when we're alive, let's look at one or two scriptures here. Go to the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, and chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7. Titus 3, verse 3 says to us, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy and hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Listen to this, by the washing of regeneration. That being made alive, that's what regeneration is. It means being made alive. Hallelujah. Brought out of the death of sin. The washing of regeneration. When God washes us and cleanses us from our sin in the precious blood of Jesus. Praise God. All sin is gone. Hallelujah. We are now made alive. Regenerated. Made alive together. and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear friends, you know, up in my little room up there, and praise, I'm so grateful for that room while I'm here. And early this morning, I was reading some scripture, and I was just rejoicing in this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, can I ask you tonight, are you filled with the Spirit? Because if you're not, you're a disobedient Christian. Paul tells us, ever be filled with the Spirit. And it hit me this morning in a new, fresh way, and I was praying the Lord. I'm sitting up there in that little room with my hands up like this, and I'm saying, Lord, I receive Him. Hallelujah. I receive Your Spirit again today. I receive Him. Jesus says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Lord, fill me. I receive this gift, Lord. I just receive it. Praise God. And I rejoice in it. And I praise You, Lord, for this incredible gift. The washing of regeneration, the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That's what it means, you see. That's our completeness. That's what it means to be alive in Him, regenerated, receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives today and every day. And He's poured out the Holy Spirit upon us richly. We're justified by His grace. We're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've got this incredible prospect ahead of us. The Word of God says we are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. You know, it's a strange thing, this. That we need to look at it from a heavenly perspective. When my parents died, and I remember my parents had their will read, and all their worldly goods, which didn't amount to all that much, was divided between me and my sister. She got her half, I got my half. But you know what? When it comes to our being heirs of God, every one of us gets all of it. Isn't that wonderful? You don't get your little bit. Every one of us in this room today is a joint heir with Christ. We're going to share all of it. Hallelujah. Every bit of it is yours tonight. That's your prospect. And we praise God for that. We're made heirs of God in Christ Jesus. And we bless God. We're raised with Him. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Just very quickly. It says in verse number 12, having been raised with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And we're back, we talked about baptism the other night, and that glorious picture when somebody, a believer, goes through the waters of baptism and they come up out of that water. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. They're saying to the world, we've died to our old life. We're now, as Christ died for our sin, He went into sin for on our behalf. We are identifying ourselves with His death on the cross. And now we are raised up as Christ was raised from the dead. We are rising up to newness of life. Praise His name. That is our position and our joy and our wonderful privilege right now in the Lord Jesus. Raised with Him. Raised with Him. The old life left behind. And then number four, we're seated with Christ. In verse 1, I've referred to it already, chapter 1, verse 20, how that God raised Him from the dead. And Paul's telling us that this is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. The greatest event ever to take place in the history of this universe, when Christ died on that cross at Calvary and was raised again on the third day and never to die again. He was exalted to God's right hand and bless His wonderful name. You and I today, we're seated with Him. We're seated with Him. Raised up with Him and seated with Him. Praise God, tonight we're with Christ. Three times over it's mentioned in these verses, because of the fact that we are in Christ. Amen? Because we're in Christ, where He is, we are as well. Because we're part of Him. We're literally part of Him. We are part of His body. He is the head. We are part of His body. We're literally part of Jesus. His life is in you at this moment. That is a glorious discovery. His life is in you. Right at this very moment, my brother and my sister, Christ, the living Christ, is living on the inside of you by His Holy Spirit. His life is flowing through you at this precise moment. What an incredible picture that is for us all tonight. And because we are in Him, part of Him, we are with Him where He's seated at God's right hand right now. And then we move on from there to look a bit more about this prospect ahead of us. If you look down at verse number 7, he says in verse 6, He's raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that, these words are important, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is the great purpose of it all. This is what was in the mind and heart of God right from day one. This is fundamentally what was part of God's great plan of salvation. You know, dear friends, when God forgave you your sin and you became a new creation in Christ, you were born again, it was not just to improve your circumstances now and make life a little bit more bearable right now. It was basically to give you this incredible prospect. You know, God didn't say, I'm going to save you and then leave you to your own resources. God said, I'm saving you and I'm giving you this prospect. You're in Christ, so you're with Christ. And He says, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace towards us. He's going to use us one day to... There's a lot of things I could say about that, but I just want to say to you tonight, let's focus on this eternal perspective. This eternal perspective. So that God's got His purpose. You know, I was thinking about how to illustrate this for us. And the thought came to me that when you go read on in Ephesians, you come down to chapter 3 and verse 10. And Paul talks there about the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that, here's that expression again, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. You and I today, you know, you hear a lot about the kingdom these days, and rightly so. But Jesus right now is building His church. Amen? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's building His church right now. And you and I have the immense privilege by the grace of God to be part of that church, the body of Christ. And the one of the purposes of that is that one day God's going to reveal to all the principalities and powers through the church. You're going to be God's visual aid, my friends, to all the principalities and powers, that God recovered all that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Amen? That the devil is forever defeated and destroyed. And God has recovered it all. And the church is that wonderful visual aid to all those principalities and powers. I just love that wonderful expression. And you know, when we think of that today, I was thinking how to illustrate it. And this is what came to me. My late father was an amazing gardener. He could grow stuff. He was in his work life. He was a chemist, and I'm sure he got a few reactions on the way along. But he was a bit of a chemist, and when it came to growing plants and flowers and stuff like that, he would prepare the soil. He made his own fertilizer stuff, and he went to great lengths sterilizing soil. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. His greenhouse was like a hospital room. It was an amazing place. And anyway, his speciality was chrysanthemums. And, oh man alive, the elaborate things that went on to produce those wonderful, beautiful, magnificent chrysanthemums. And, you know, the soil was prepared, the little seedlings were planted, they were nurtured, and as they grew up, all the extra growths were all pricked off every day, etc., etc. They were fed, they were sprayed, they were sheltered from the sun and the weather, all kinds of stuff went on till eventually that full bloom was there. And then he would go to the flower show. And sometimes I would go along with him to help him. And we'd go to the local flower show. And the vase would be on there on the little deck thing. And he would have three blooms in one vase. And there they were. And many, many times he would win first prize. And I always remember when the pendant was on the vase. First prize. And Father would stand by. And he would look at it. Wonderful. Wonderful. Do you know what? You're going to be like that with God one day. We're going to be in his presence. And the Lord's going to stand there. All the principalities and powers are going to look at us. They're going to say, how wonderful. How amazing. See what God has done. See what God has done. Do you know, isn't that amazing? See what God has done. The chrysanthemum wasn't sitting there saying, look how wonderful I am. If it could speak, it would always tell you, I wouldn't be anywhere. I wouldn't be where I am but for the guy who looked after me. And I, dear friends, can I remind you, all the stuff you're going through right now, maybe you're in the place, you're whining a bit, and you're complaining to God, and you're asking why. Do you know what, people? It's all in his purpose. And when we learn to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what, as we were seeing this morning, that he always leads us in triumph. Always, always, always. And everything we're going through and everything we have gone through is part of his purpose to make us more like Jesus. And one day we're going to be there in his presence. Hallelujah. And we're going to be that wonderful demonstration so that in the ages to come, he will show the surpassing riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For all eternity, we're going to be that glorious demonstration of what God has accomplished by his grace. Oh, dear friends, that's where you're at right now. Isn't it glorious? Get a bit excited about it, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what the grace of God has brought about for you and me. And that's our prospect. That is our prospect. Ah, praise the Lord. He's made such extravagant provision for us. And when we think of all of that, we've got this essential truth. And I just want to finish here. I just want to finish here. It's by the grace of God. It's his amazing, wonderful gift. Amen. Amen. It's all by the grace of God. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's his gift. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if only you knew. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaks with you, you would have asked of him and he would give you living water. Dear friends, that living water that's within you right now by the Spirit of God, welling up to eternal life. Oh, let it flow, dear people. Let it flow. Amen? Let it flow. Just get up tomorrow morning, get up every morning and say, Lord, here we are, you and me again. Just flow, Lord. Just flow. Live through me today. Do what you want to do, Lord. I'm just available. Just do what you want to do. Whatever you want to do today, have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. What a truth that is. And dear friends, the more he's living and the more we're allowing him to live and the more we're rejoicing in the Lord, the more we're going to enjoy that glorious prospect ahead of us. Amen? I remember hearing a story recently about an old chap and somebody met him one day and said, how are you doing today, brother? He said, do you want the good news or the bad news first? He said, well, what's the bad news? He says, now let me get this right. He went the good news or the bad news first. He said, the good news is, I've been told, I've got cancer and I'm going to be dying one day. Well, if that's the good news, you say, what's the bad news? You say, the bad news is I've got to wait 6 months. I'm not treating anything lightly, dear friends. I'm not. And dear people tonight, I say with great tenderness, I trust in my heart. We all know that many of God's precious people are going through horrendous things. Horrendous things. But oh, dear people tonight, I want to say to you, we all have this amazing prospect. Amen? We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. And we rejoice in His amazing provision. That's all I want to say to you tonight. I just kind of feel that's enough for us for this evening. But it was something that's the Lord's making it so precious to me. And I trust He will to you as well. And we'll go to sleep tonight just praising God for this amazing prospect that we have. Let's pray together. Father, we just bow before You and we thank You with all our hearts. Oh Lord, where would we be apart from Your grace? We're here tonight by the grace of God. We're here tonight, Father, as people who are alive to God in Christ Jesus. We're here tonight, Lord, as men and women who have this incredible prospect ahead of us. You've saved us, Lord, so that one day You'll manifest the wonders of Your grace through us for all eternity. Oh God, we praise You tonight. And we know that it's true because Jesus lives. Oh Father, thank You tonight. Thank You that we're not a religious people. Thank You tonight we're not just men and women who are following a religion. Thank You we have a relationship. God, I pray tonight for people in other faiths. I pray for people. I pray for the guy that I met in Gatwick Airport, the Muslim fellow, Lord, and he's doing this, that, and the other thing, and at the end of the day, he's got no assurance whatever. Oh, God, we pray to You tonight. Open blinded eyes. Father, I pray tonight that we will be men and women so filled with Jesus, that You will live through us every day of our lives. God, You know, we want that wonderful prospect. We want to know that when we stand before the Lord, as we've heard tonight already, oh, we just long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we're ashamed of sometimes of our failings. We're ashamed, Lord, of our unfaithfulness. But we bless You tonight. You remain faithful. And Lord, we rejoice in You. And we surrender everything to You again tonight. And we say, as we look ahead, we think of the prospect before us. We say, in the meantime, Father, have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. And may it all be for the great glory and praise of Your great name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.